This is The Book Group on RNIB Connect Radio. RNIB Talk and Support run telephone social groups for adults with sight loss. There are telebefriending groups which help you socialise by phone for friendship and support, or you can share your passion for books and reading by taking part in a telephone book club. We'll tell you how you can take part in your own telephone social group later on in the show. But for now, let's listen in to our telephone book group on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, I'm Peggy. I'm 80. I'm from Scotland, but now I live in West Wales. I have macular degeneration. I've always loved reading. I love anything and everything. I read all sorts of books and always have.
Hello, I'm David. I'm from Chester and I'm 57 years old. I went blind when I was 6 months old, and I have very badly scarred retinas. As far as reading goes, I do like a lot of horror fiction. I like some crime fiction, and I like a lot of classics.
Hello, I'm Supriya. I come from Aldershot, and I'm 42. And I have been blind since I was about 2 years old, and I had a condition called retinoblastoma, which is a tumour in the eyes. I like reading classics and any other books, mainly historical fiction, romantic fiction, and I'll try anything once.
Hi, I'm called Peter, and I live in Grays, Essex. I'm 91. If you pardon my stammer, by the way, I have a wide taste in books, adventure stories. I've been reading Terry Pratchett recently.
Hi, I'm Ushma. I'm over 21 and I'm from Eastcote in Middlesex. I've been blind since birth and I'm wheelchair bound due to brittle bones. I absolutely love reading. I got a degree and a master's in Shakespeare. I love a little bit of all sorts really, including the classics, historical fiction and some light comedy as well.
This month, the group are discussing Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine by Gail Honeyman. And please note from the start, this programme contains spoilers for that book.
When people ask me what I do, taxi drivers, dental hygienists, I tell them I work in an office. In almost 9 years, no one's ever asked what kind of office or what sort of job I do there. I can't decide whether that's because I fit perfectly with their idea of what an office worker looks like, or whether people hear the phrase work in an office and automatically fill in the blanks themselves. Lady doing photocopying, man tapping at a keyboard. I'm not complaining. I'm delighted that I don't have to get into the fascinating intricacies of accounts receivable with them.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rita, and I'm your today's facilitator.
This is Supriya from Aldershot. I went on sent us the list for the books. I chose this book. I was hoping everybody would choose that, purely because the other one wasn't as interesting. And this one caught my attention because I know a lady who is similar to what they described Eleanor as being. She's single, and for the last 30 years, she's kept the same routine, same job.
Oh,
she does everything at the same time, and her room's immaculate, and she does a lot of arts and crafts, but she's never, ever been on holiday, not even left the county. So I thought maybe Eleanor was going to be similar to her, and I wanted to know somebody who lives a life like that, which is totally poles apart from my own. But when I read the book, she wasn't anywhere anything like this lady, really, because her life seemed to change dramatically and she even found romance at the end. This is Eleanor, I mean. So I did enjoy the book. I wasn't sure what to make of it at first. I thought it was going to be a bit boring, but I really enjoyed the book. I didn't guess the twist at the end until almost nearly at the end of the book. Mm. I didn't guess that about her mother. But yes, it was a nice surprise. And I'm so glad that she and Raymond got on, although she would be unlikely at first.
Oh, she sounds quite gutsy to me. I haven't, sort of, because I've sort of been, you know, readjusting, sort of recovering, I haven't necessarily had the time to sort of read the book. But from what I've heard, she sounds really, you know, really gutsy, you know, quite gutsy. And in some ways, you know, quite, you know, the fact that she finds romance and she sort of gets, I suppose, you know, she gets her sort of freedom, doesn't she, in some ways? Mm.
Yes, she's very strange because when her mummy rings on Wednesdays, I think it was, she's totally like a baby. She's so subservient and so obedient. Other parts of her life, she can be gutsy and brave. So it's a strange combination. Obviously, she has a lot of issues, psychological issues, because of her bad childhood and so on. So you need to read the whole book to understand the story, as it were.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, shall we ask one of the gentlemen? Peter, what would you think of?
Yes, it was quite good. It was a bit bitty, I think, the thought. A bit like a jigsaw, but I think it was a good yarn in the end, yes.
Mm. Did you enjoy it overall?
Yes, I did.
Okay, David, do you want to just enlarge on that?
Well, the only thing I can say about it, I found it a bit like wading through treacle. Eleanor did actually remind me of several people that I've worked with over the years, these kind of single people that you don't know anything about their life outside of their work. Mm. And she seemed to have that air of singleness. I mean, there are lots of single ladies about, but some just actually come across as being single for life, as it were. And it was actually quite nice that she did find Raymond. Yeah, but I it's not one of those books. If somebody comes up to me and says, "Have you ever read anything by Gail Honeyman?" I'll have to struggle to remember anything about this book.
Not so memorable to you.
It didn't actually fire the blood.
Yes, I think I will forget bits of it in years to come.
Mm. Okay, so Peggy?
Well, my perspective is probably slightly different because A, it's set in Glasgow, and I recognise some of the areas.
Places. Mm-hmm.
But also, I felt it was, I didn't think at first that I was going to enjoy it because it did seem a bit slow and seemed a bit dull, and you know, she didn't go on with people, but then as you get into it and gradually find out her background, it's very interesting, very sad in places, and quite moving. And I was quite relieved that it actually had a happy ending because I didn't foresee that it would, because she was so dismissive of Raymond at first, but yet he was so good and so kind, which was what she needed.
Absolutely.
And she did eventually come to terms with her past, or was coming to terms with her past when the book ended. And I would certainly, I would recommend it. I enjoyed it, but maybe I'm weird.
No, I enjoyed it. I definitely did.
But there are certainly books that I enjoy that other people might not necessarily. So I don't think you're weird, again.
No, I must say, more or less, I agree with Peggy, and I didn't get the twist either, Supriya. Until the last.
No. I guess maybe two or three pages before it was going to happen, I said, oh, here we go. I think there is something going on here. Mm. It's not quite as it seems. Obviously.
Yeah, because the social worker sort of started to say about it, but cut off before she actually detailed about it.
And also I thought it was quite not unusual, I don't know what the right word is, that people were so nice to Eleanor, even when she was being quite snobbish or rude, or came across as maybe abrupt, but people were quite patient with her and
some of
quite
them
friendly to her, really, like Raymond being the example, and his mum and so on. And the funniest thing was when she asked for money to buy his drink. I just laughed.
That made me laugh too. And he told her to keep the change.
Yes. Yeah.
It did have bits of humour. And although a lot of people were nice to her, and, you know, especially the old man's family, the people in our office weren't very kind to her. They were, you know...
Understandable in a way, considering her behaviour and...
Oh, I'm not saying that...
My own experience tells me that people in offices are very often not very kind to people of that type.
No.
Right.
No, a lot of it was down to her own attitude. I think that she didn't encourage people to be nice to her.
Yeah, she would have been standoffish. Yeah.
Hmm.
So on the whole, people seem to have enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
Started off dull. But certainly twists in it, and the humour was quite nice. She's certainly, the authoress seemed to have a good understanding of people, didn't she?
Yeah.
The, the characters that she brought in.
I think so.
Yes, a lot of it showed a real understanding of different people and how they react.
Hmm. So that part was very good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I wondered if she had a counselling background or... I don't know much about her.
What, Gail Honeyman?
Yeah.
No,
I don't know anything. I hadn't come across her before at all. No. I might look out for something else of hers because her insight into people was very good. Maybe
I might Google her and see what I can come up with because it's always nice to come across a new author that you've not read before.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, even the experience of reading, you know, even if it doesn't, it's not particularly fulfilling. It is nice to have something fresh.
Yeah.
It takes you out of your normal.
It's one of the joys of the book groups, though, isn't it? That it does introduce you to different genres and different authors that you might not otherwise come across.
That's right. In the fly cover, I'm sitting with the book at the moment, it says, while Gail Honeyman was writing her debut, it was shortlisted for the Lucy Cavendish Fiction Prize
as a
work in progress. Subsequently sold almost 30 territories worldwide, and it was chosen as the Observer's debut of the year last year.
This year,
2017. Gail was also awarded the Scottish Book Trust Next Chapter Award in 2014 and has been longlisted for BBC Radio 4's Opening Lines and shortlisted for the Bridport Prize. She lives in Glasgow, but it doesn't say very much about her personal life.
My wife's called Gail, so she's got a pretty sensible Christian name anyway.
Surprising how we go back to those we've got a contact with.
She's got quite a pretty name, really, Gail Honeyman.
Yeah.
It is quite an attractive name.
She might have had a background in social services or something, or, you know, studied psychology or counselling earlier in her life. But she certainly did show great insight into character.
Characters, yeah.
She may just be the type of person that has that kind of insight. There are people that don't need any formal training.
Yeah.
This is true.
Some people just by observation, you mean?
Yeah.
Same as you, David.
Observation and experience.
Yeah.
Wow.
Peter, you called it a bit of a jigsaw, although you enjoyed it.
Yes, well, it's kind of a while ago.
Oh, you read it?
Since I read it, really.
Oh, right, okay.
So you're trying to
bring it back to mind.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But it does sometimes jump about a bit from the office to the, you know, the people at the hospital and concerts and things.
You're listening to The Book Group on RNIB Connect Radio. This month, the group are discussing Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine by Gail Honeyman, and we'll have more after this.
RNIB. Supporting people with sight loss.
Would you like to chat over the telephone with a group of like-minded people? RNIB's award-winning telephone social groups are small, friendly and lots of fun. A great way of making new friends and a chance to socialise without leaving the comfort of your home. telephone RNIB Talk and Support on 0845 330 3723 or email talkandsupport@rnib.org.uk.
RNIB Talking Books provides more than 1 million audiobooks every year to people with sight loss and is now completely free for all blind and partially sighted people in the UK. The RNIB Library is the largest of its kind in Europe and offers a wide range of fiction and non-fiction titles, which readers can access on CD, on USB, or as a digital download. The RNIB Library also caters for adults and children in both Braille and giant print, so that you can listen how you choose, whether at home or on the go. To find out more about the RNIB Library or to sign up for your free membership, call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999 or visit www.rnib.org.uk/library.
And now a return to the book group on RNIB Connect Radio. The group are discussing Eleanor Oliphant Is Completely Fine by Gail Honeyman. And please note that this show does contain spoilers for that book.
Does anybody know anybody that's like Eleanor Oliphant's character? I know Supriya said that she did, but is there anybody? And also, are there any books that you can sort of compare it to? You know, are there any other heroines that you can sort of compare her to?
Gosh, no, I've never come across anybody like her.
Can't really think of anybody of any other book. I mean, that was one of the charms of it, that it was quite unusual, quite different. And as I said earlier, the insight into character was one of the charms of it. Mm-hmm. And I liked it because it was set in Glasgow. I mean, I used to do occasional voluntary work for the Glasgow Centre for Sensory Impairment, and that was in Partick, and that was quite near the Western Infirmary. So I could see where she was talking about.
It's right. Interesting, that kind of misfit-type character. I have come across one or two of them over the years in books. The most, the one that I remember most is a character called Cyril Frewin in John le Carré's The Secret Pilgrim.
Uh-huh.
His case ended in complete tragedy, and he ended up going mad in the end, really. But he was that kind of misfit. His interests weren't everybody else's interests. He was mocked and vilified in the office, and it's amazing the effect that it had on him. He actually ended up becoming a spy, but. Eleanor Oliphant did actually remind me of Frewin a bit in her sort of, like I was saying earlier on, in her singleness, in her, you know, there seemed to be an area around her that nobody was going to be able to penetrate. Mm. And with this Cyril Frewin character, that remained the case forever, whereas with Eleanor Oliphant, at least she did find Raymond, which was something at least.
Yeah. It was interesting how nasty, not deliberately nasty, but how the people didn't understand, because, well, obviously we didn't know her background at that point, but they weren't very kind about her scars and things, you know, sort of looking at her sideways and things.
I think in an office environment, there's always a sort of hierarchy, isn't there?
Mm.
There are cliques.
Yeah.
If you don't belong to a clique, it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, and the thing is that if you don't, it's a thing that I think in any, it's kind of, there's a need to prove yourself, isn't there?
Did you find Raymond a character that you understood?
Yeah, I could see.
It's quite straightforward. There's nothing complicated about him, is there?
No.
He's a kind-hearted gentleman, I thought.
Yes, and he's and taking her to see his mother and everything, he was also kind.
Yeah.
You could see how, from that, how his background, how his character had developed so different from her unfortunate background with all her foster homes and things.
And he was there when she hit rock bottom, really, wasn't he?
Mm.
Yeah.
That must have been a very testing of friendship, that must have been.
He was basically a good person, wasn't he?
Sorry, what I didn't quite understand was why she was obsessed about this rock star, and why she went into such a depth of depression when she realised that nothing was going to come of it. I didn't quite understand that, and I wonder if somebody could explain that to me. It's a bit of a strange behaviour.
No, I didn't really get that.
No, I didn't get that at all.
I think it was just, it was the first sort of person, first male person that she'd actually really looked at who really made any impression on her.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that she was, her view of him was totally unrealistic and coloured by what he said on social media and stuff. It was very sad, but
yeah.
I think that was basically it. Because she lived such a closed-in life, it was the first sort of personable
It's almost like going through a teenage crush, wasn't it? And building up an image that she would like to have, as opposed that was reality.
Yeah. And also related to her imaginary conversations with her mother about finding the perfect mate and everything. Always looking for perfection.
Yes, I didn't see that twist coming, I must say.
Mm. No, it was actually, the book was really very clever, the way it sort of brought it all out.
Now that fate had unfurled my future, I simply had to find out more about him. The singer. The answer. Before I tackled the horror that was the month-end accounts, I thought I'd have a quick look at a few sites. Argos, John Lewis, to see how much a computer would cost. I suppose I could have come into the office during the weekend and used one, but there was a high risk that someone else would be around and ask what I was doing. It's not like I'd be breaking any rules, but it's no one else's business, and I wouldn't want to have to explain to Bob how I'd been working weekends and yet still hadn't managed to make a dent in the huge pile of invoices waiting to be processed. Plus, I could do other things at home at the same time, like cook a trial menu for our first dinner together. Mummy told me, years ago, that men go absolutely crazy for sausage rolls. The way to a man's heart, she said, is a homemade sausage roll. Hot, flaky pastry, good quality meat. I haven't cooked anything except pasta for years. I've never made a sausage roll. I don't suppose it's terribly difficult, though. It's only pastry and mechanically recovered meat. I switched on the machine and entered my password, but the whole screen froze. I turned the computer off and on again, and this time it didn't even get as far as the password prompt. Annoying.
And did you all like the reader? I thought she was pretty good.
Yes.
Mm. Actually, the standard, I mean, they used to have a lot of volunteers there on IB readers, but the standard of the reading in general has got very high these days, and I thought she was an exceptional reader, and I don't think I could have completed the book if it hadn't been read by her, if you see what I mean.
Yes, it was very well read.
And I mean, she was a Scottish reader, and if an English reader had attempted to read that, it just wouldn't have been the same at all.
But although she was Scottish, it wasn't heavily accented.
No, it was
still accessible.
Yeah.
Other people.
Her English accent was a bit strange, though, but then if she's Scottish, then it probably would be.
Well, I've just read a book where there's an American accent, American trying to read a sort of London Cockney-type English accent, and he was absolutely appalling at it.
Oh, dear.
Oh, well, that's
a very difficult thing to do, I think, for a non-English person.
Accents are one of these things that some people can produce any sort of accent, but others... immediately it grates and think, oh no, that doesn't sound right.
Yes, I know I digress, but I'll have to quickly tell you, I read a book called The Painted Highway by Audrey Howard.
Uh-huh.
I highly recommend it to anybody. And that was read by the lady who plays Linda Snell in The Archers.
Oh, Carol Boyd.
Amazing.
Oh,
yeah.
Carol who?
Oh, Carol Boyd.
Carol
Boyd, oh.
Carol Boyd, her name is.
I recognised her. I said, oh, goodness, that's Linda. You know, I don't know. Her real name doesn't come to mind immediately, but I thought she was absolutely wonderful. I thought, cracky, imagine Linda sounding like this. She did
all the accents,
and, you know, you would think she's a native. You must listen to that book just to listen to her. She was brilliant.
She's She also incidentally played Mrs. Goggins in Postman Pat on telly.
Okay.
Piece of trivia
there. I didn't know that.
You're obviously a fan, David.
It makes all the difference. I must admit that I think it's only in all the time I've been listening to Talking Books, there's only been two where I really disliked the voice and sent them back without finishing them. Uh-huh. Obviously, the books weren't all that gripping or I would have overlooked the voice.
Oh, dear.
Okay, well, that's a good opinion.
Oh, the readers are wonderful.
Yes,
well, Talking Books are wonderful.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
I phoned the number but got his voicemail. Hi, Raymond here, but also not here, like Schrodinger's cat. Leave a message after the beep. Cheers. I shook my head in disgust and spoke slowly and clearly into the machine. Good morning, Mr. Gibbons. My name is Miss Oliphant, and I am the finance clerk. My computer has stopped working, and I would be most grateful if you could see your way to repairing it today. Should you require any further details, you may reach me on extension 535. Thank you most kindly.
Happy endings are always good, aren't they?
Yeah.
There are not many these days in literature or anywhere else, for that matter.
Oh, I mean, if you go back to Tom and Hardy now, you've got quite a few sort of bleak endings, haven't you?
Yeah, he is bleak. Particularly Jude the Obscure.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, gosh, yes. I remember reading that book with my mum.
Yeah. I read that and it put me right off reading anything else for a long time.
Well, he was panned by the critics for that, and he never wrote another novel.
Oh, then he went on to poetry.
He's written some very good poetry.
Much Missed, I love that poem.
Mm. The Convergence of the Twain is one of my favourites.
Oh,
I should read more of his poems. I've read most of his books. He's one of my favourite authors.
Yes, same here. I love Far From the Madding Crowd. That's my absolute...
And Mayor of Casterbridge.
That makes me cry.
Yeah, that is a tearjerker. Tess of the D'Urbervilles, I think, is my favourite.
Yes. The thing is, there's a lot
Return
you can say.
Return of the Native.
Yeah.
Has anybody read that?
I've read Return of the Native.
Oh, amazing book. I loved it.
And The Woodlanders is also...
Yeah.
It is quite bleak, I agree.
The thing is, at the end of The Woodlanders, Grace sort of goes back to her... Grace goes back to Fitzpiers, doesn't she? Not quite sure. Well, I'm not quite sure how I felt about the ending. I was slightly, my feelings were slightly mixed.
But Charles Dickens tends to have reasonably happy endings.
Yes, he does. A novel with a happy... I think Hard Times kind of has a happy ending.
David Copperfield does.
Yes. And he falls in love with Agnes. It took him so long to realise that Agnes loved him.
Yes, it did.
He was
rather slow about that. I mean, he did acknowledge it himself, didn't he? He said he was blind. And Oliver Twist, of course, has a happy ending, apart from Fagin being hung.
Oh, well.
Tale of Two Cities, I love the book, but...
it is a far, far better rest.
When I was reading the book, I actually fell in love with Sidney Carton. So
when he
sacrificed himself, so that's very sad.
Yeah, that was
I'm in love with Jane Eyre and have been for many years.
Oh, have you? Poor plain and obscure.
Mr. Rochester, not fair.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe you'd have... Oh, dear.
Oh, no, I always loved Darcy, especially when he was played by Colin Firth.
Take Mr. Darcy's place. You're right, Peggy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully speak to you next month.
Okay.
Okie dokie. Thank you.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.
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 Bye. Someone has left the conference. Someone has left the conference.
To join a group, either telebefriending or a telephone book club, please email talkandsupport@rnib.org.uk or call one of the two following numbers: 0845 330 3723 or 0207 391 2218. Thanks to RNIB Talk and Support, you've been listening to The Book Group on RNIB Connect Radio.